If you would, open up your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 2. And I want us to look at a very familiar verses of Scripture, passage of Scripture here. And I want you to look at it with me with the thought of Jesus has taken us in his ministry from the old covenant to the new covenant. He's taken us from the, aren't you glad tonight? Lift up your hands to heaven and say, thank God I'm clean. Isn't that amazing? Tonight, you're clean. You were washed in the blood first, but now you're being washed in the water of the Word. You don't have to do like those under the law did, where you had to go and do all this ceremonial cleansing and all this stuff. You're just clean because Jesus made you clean. And so we're going to look at this miracle of turning the water into wine. And I've preached this many times, but I never preached it from this point of view. So I want us to look at something here. I think that you'll leave here very encouraged and edified. God wants to take you and I from a place of, mark this down in your mind, from no wine to new wine. From zero to overflow. He wants us to overflow. Amen. And so let's look at this. John chapter 2, verse number 1. If you're there, say amen. And the third day, and this is the third day, if you count this up from chapter 1 all the way through here, you see that we're getting to the day of the wedding for a reason. And so you and I, we're looking for the end of the sixth day or the 6,000 years so we can have a marriage supper. Amen. We're waiting on that. So this is a parallel. And the third day, there was a marriage in Canaan of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called, his disciples, they were called with him. Aren't you glad that you and I are called with Jesus to go somewhere? To what? They were called to this marriage. And when they wanted, when they lacked wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. They have no wine. In other words, the old covenant, it just hooked the people just as far as it could take them. And now Jesus is fixing to take over and take us where we need to be. Amen. They have no wine. I love that. Jesus saith unto her, woman, or madam, ma'am, what have I to do with thee? My time has not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there six water pots of stones after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. And Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they fill them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast, the Lord of this marriage ceremony. And they bear it. And the ruler of the feast, the governor, had tasted the wine that was the taste of the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was. But the servants which drew the water knew. And the governor of the feast called the bridegroom. And he saith unto him, every man at the beginning doeth set forth good wine. And when men have well drunk, then that which is worst. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. Don't let me forget that. Let's talk about it. Kept the good wine until now. This is the beginning of miracles. Did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory. And what happened? And his disciples believed on him. Brother Donnie, would you pray?
Lord, thank you for this message.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. We worship you. We honor you. We magnify your name. We lift your name on high. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes, Lord. Amen and amen. Thank you, Brother Donnie. Thank you for your faithfulness to the house of God. Thank you for the vision that you're letting the Lord put in your life. And just like Sister Donna was talking about, she was inspired by the Holy Spirit to say that. You need to know that you're the cog in the gear that pulls to the next cog that makes everything turn. It takes everybody in their place, and I'm thankful and grateful for each one of you. And it's exciting that Sister Sissy wants to be a part of what's going on here. We're thankful for that. We ask the Lord's blessing on you all the time. Hallelujah. So let's look at some things here, and I want you just to be so encouraged. I want you to think about some things. Now, we're going to pull most of the things out of these, out of verses 6, 7, and 8. But I want you to just to notice some things before we get there, and I want you to see what you and I can do when we go from zero to overflow, when we go from no wine to new wine. Now, understand that what this is a type of, you can imagine they're coming together. And yes, this is a real life event in the time of Jesus and Mary and here at Cana and all of these things. But what it's really symbolizing is that before Jesus come, you and I, we had to depend upon doing everything externally. We had to depend upon doing things ceremonially. And so to have a relationship with God, we had to have an animal sacrifice and to help ourselves with the natural man, the outward man, to stay pure before we could worship God. We had to go through these ceremonial things, and we had to, if you went into the marketplace, if you're around certain people or animals or certain things, you had to go through all this ceremonial cleansing and all of these things as a type and a shadow of what Jesus was going to take care of at the cross. But can you imagine here, you know, Jesus is, he's picking, he's putting his disciples together. We got about six of them at this point of time. And all of a sudden, as Jesus is trying to figure out the timeline of the Father. Now, remember, he is fully God, but he's fully man. And so he's having to be led by the Spirit. And so he's trying to get in step with his Father in the timeline of where he's going to fulfill his ministry. And all of a sudden, he gets a call. And that call is, hey, I want you and the disciples to come to this wedding. And so you just listen as I preach to myself, okay? There's so many times in our life that we may miss out on what's important. You know, because we think, well, I'm supposed to be doing this. Well, am I supposed to be doing this, or is God calling me to do something else? You know, we put levels, we put emphasis on certain things that we deem as religious or spiritual or timely in the Lord. I mean, I can just imagine Jesus gets this call and he's thinking, listen, I'm trying to put the disciples together. In other words, I'm trying to get the ministry team together. I'm trying to figure out how to put the food together. We're trying to figure out how to raise money. We're trying all these things, and all those things are important. But what does God want us to do right now? You know, and so all of a sudden, Jesus is needed in a personal way there, and he doesn't know yet, but God is fixing to use his mother to propel him into his moment of time. And so if you and I are not in the right place, and if we don't take notice to what God deems important, and it may not even look spiritual, it may not look churchy or whatever it might be, but it may be that place that gets you to the next point of being in the perfect will of God. Amen. And so in my life, I have to, I have to tell the Lord all the time, Lord, you're going to have to impress me what to do, because he's asking me to do some things now, and I've been doing it, and I don't want to do it. I don't want to, but I tell him, I love you more than I love myself, and I'm going to do it, whatever it is. And so it's amazing how he puts you in the right place at the right time, and how you meet people and you see people and you recognize and realize, okay, that was a God moment. It was a God wink. He winked on that. He blessed that. He had it there for a reason. But if I was guiding my life, I wouldn't have been there. So even with Jesus, we see some things that's very important here. So notice what it says. It says in verse 4, and when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Now, can you imagine? Here Jesus is. He has been invited. He's a guest. This is not his responsibility in the natural. And that's what he says to her. That's why he says in verse number 4, he said unto her, woman, which is not derogatory at all. It sounds like it in English, but you know, it's not, because remember, in what is it? When he's on the cross, he tells John, he says, behold thy mother. And he says, woman, behold thy son. In other words, he put them together. And she lived with John until she died. So because of that relationship, so he called her that name there too. And the name from the Greek simply means ma'am. It means, you know, but he's saying, we're guests here. This is not our responsibility. Because why? He's still thinking, he's probably at this wedding, but he's not there in his mind. You ever been there? You've been there in your body, You've been with somebody in your body, but your mind's not there because you're thinking about what you either need to do or what you want to be doing and all of those things, but you don't realize that you're really there by divine appointment. Come on now, be honest with yourself. Every one of us has done it. We've been in that situation and we're missing what God would have for us. So notice what he says. He said, what have I to have to do with thee? In other words, what's this got to do with you and me? My hour is not yet come. See, he's still thinking in that mindset, but all of a sudden he's put in a position where the one that God chose to bring him forth by the power of the Holy Spirit into our lives so we could be saved, named into the family of God, speaks a word to him, and it's like it takes him to that place where it touches his heart, it touches his spirit, and then he realizes this is the time. Because I know what he's thinking. He's thinking, now when I do this, when I do this miracle, when I step into this ministry, then I'm on my way to the cross. I'm on my way to being horrible, terrible things that you can't even imagine that you're going to have to see. I'm going to step into those things and all of those things. So we can see that, we can understand that. But when she speaks that no doubt, but by the Spirit of God to get a hold of him. Verse number 5, his mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Aren't you glad that you've got people of faith in your life? I mean, she gives Jesus that very word, and then she gives the servants the word. And I tell you what, I'm here today because God has put people in my life that they have spoken a word that I needed to hear. And I'm grateful and thankful for every one of you. I'm grateful and thankful for certain people right now that's coming across my spirit that God has used, that spoke a word that made me strong, that spoke a word that gave me the boldness and the freedom and the liberty to do what God would have me to do. Amen. And so I praise God for him giving them that word, but I praise God for those people and ask his blessing upon them in Jesus' name. Amen. So notice this. Now, let's concentrate on 6, 7, and 8. It says, and there were set 6 water pots of stone. Now, I want you to mark this down in your heart tonight. For you and I to go from no wine to new wine, from go to zero to overflow, we've got to be in the place and the position where we're close to where the action's at. You're not going to do anything for Jesus if you're not close to Jesus. So notice these water pots, they were in the place that they were supposed to be. Come on, say, I'll be in God's place. We've got to be in that place. So there's a closeness there. And so notice what it says. It says, and there were set there 6 water pots of stone. Not 7, 6. 6 is the number of man. They're not fancy. Come on. They're made out of stone, out of this clay that has been hardened. You and I, we come from the clay. We come from the dirt of the earth. And we've been hardened. It takes Jesus to make our hearts soft. Amen. But they had a purpose. They were the old covenant. They were the old way of having a washing, a ceremonial washing. But Jesus is saying, hey, I've come to take what's incomplete, because when you add 6 to 1, you've got 7. I've come to add to your life the number of man where you can have the number of God, which is Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, and you can be complete. In Jesus, we can be complete, but we've got to what? We've got to be in union with Jesus. That's what this marriage is about. You and I, we're in union with the Lord Jesus Christ. When we believe in the heart and confess with the mouth Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, we have this union. We have this oneness. The Holy Spirit takes your spirit and baptizes you in the body of Christ, and we're one. Amen. We have a spiritual marriage. And so that's what he's trying to get a hold of them here. He's looking around. Now, all of a sudden, now think about this. Here's what the religious people would say. They would say, Jesus, you can't use those pots to put wine in. Those are only for washing in a ceremonial sense. Jesus, you can't fill that person with the Holy Ghost. They're a drug addict. They're an adulterer. They're a liar. They're a murderer. There are all of these things. Jesus can do whatever Jesus wants to do, because when his blood touches you, you are what? You are a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. old things are passed away. He said, behold, in other words, I've got to see it. All things are made new. I am not what I used to be. You are not who you used to be. Come on, you're brand new in Christ. Amen. And 6 + 1 = 7. You're complete in Jesus Christ. You've got to believe that. You've got to see that. And you've got to get it working in your life. So you've got to tell the Lord, say, Lord, I'm going to be close. I'm going to be close to you. But not only am I going to be close to you, I'm going to make sure I'm available. Because right now, right in this service, if the Holy Spirit would open up our eyes, we could see that there's not only angels that are close to us, but there's evil spirits that's close. So it's not just about being close to Jesus, it's about being available. Available. See, the Bible says in the epistle of James that the demons, they all believe and tremble, but they won't serve God. They serve themselves. They serve Satan. They serve that agenda. And so they're close, but they're not available. So you and I, we've got to make sure that it's not just, I'm not in the middle of what's going on. Because see, there's a lot of people who like to be around the anointing, but they don't want to participate in it. They like to feel good, but they won't open themselves up and be available to do what the anointing is wanting to do. And that's use them. People, you realize how many people, they go from church to church. They go from revival to revival. They go from meeting to meeting just to feel that feeling of the good presence of God. But they won't let that be something that goes just on the outside, but comes on the inside. See, it's not about the closeness alone. It's about the availability. So notice what happens here. And they were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. In other words, you can imagine how much wine we're fixing to have here. We might have as much as 180 gallons of wine in as a type of what is going to happen from the natural to the spiritual. But verse 7, Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. So here's what you and I have got to do. We've got to be in that place of available to the Lord, because we're so close to Him first. Second, we're available. But then we've got to be willing to say, Lord, I'll be conformable. I'll take what you want to give me. Now, can you imagine in this situation here, we got these servants, and these servants, that's exactly what they do. They're required to serve. And so Jesus tells them, he said, go fill these up with water and then bring them back. Now, if they bring back water, we've got a problem. So it's an act of faith on their part to believe what Jesus has said to do. But it's also, I want you to see these 6 stones. They're going from the old covenant. They're going from a water that would just do something ceremonially to now they're taking in water that Jesus says, if you'll receive, it's not going to be what you receive, but it's going to be something greater. See, a lot of people, they don't understand. When Jesus saves us, he doesn't just save us to keep us from hell, but he gives us salvation, which salvation is Jesus. Jesus is a Savior. He gives us himself. And so when he gives us himself, he doesn't just fill us with salvation. He fills us with deliverance. He fills us with victory. He fills us with peace, love, joy. He fills us with the vision of the plan and the will of God. And so we got to be in the place where, Lord, whatever you say, I want to put the washing of the water. I'm going to put this word in me. I'm not interested in this word right now. I'm interested in this. But see, when you take the word that he has for you, it brings in a fullness of exactly what you need when you need it. And it'll be a truth that will make you free and that will embolden you, empower you to be what God wants you to be. Amen. So this is an amazing thing. So we've got to be close. We've got to be available. But we've got to be in this place where we'll let God conform us to what he has for us. Jesus said, fill the water pots with water, and they fill them up to the brim. Now, this is important. You and I have got to be in the place and the position where when Jesus looks at us, he wants us to be completely empty of everything of the old way of life. Because he wants to fill us up to the brim. They didn't fill these up to the brim when they'd done the ceremonial cleansing. So what we're seeing here, we're seeing that Jesus says, I want you to carry all you can carry being my vessel. Isn't that amazing? God saying, I trust you. Now, this is exciting. Now, don't know, Lord, help me get this across. Jesus is saying, I'm going to fill you up plumb to the top because I'm not worried about you losing one drop.
Amen.
You can't lose it. Because God's made you a vessel that can carry His presence, His anointing. Because this new wine is something that when it becomes a part of you and you a part of it, Him, better said, that you're not going to drop it. You're not going to spill it. You're going to what? You're going to be influenced by that new wine. In other words, the Bible says, be being filled, Ephesians chapter 5, be being filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, it's not a one-time drink. You stay completely full because you keep drinking of this new wine. And as you keep drinking of this new wine, you're not drunk on the things of the external of the world and influenced. You're drunk. You're influenced on the things of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In your life. And so can you imagine here? He says, I want you to know that I'm going to fill you to the top. See, I don't know about you, but it excites me because I need to be full to the top because I got some things in my life that I need to what? I need it to be up plumb over my mind, plumb over the, every way I think, every way I look, everything I see and hear. I want it to the brim because if I everything that's not under that new wine is going to be under something else. And I want it under the new wine. In other words, I want the influence that the Holy Spirit can bring in my life about everything. Do y'all not battle things in your mind?
Yes.
That's where my biggest battle is combating negativity. I had a time with the Holy Ghost the other night. I was just there just talking to Him. Don't ask Him certain questions if you don't want to know. And I don't know when I'll get to talk to you about it, but I'm going to in the future. But I asked Him, I got this notebook or I got this Bible app, whichever one I want to use. And I sit there and I journal what the Spirit of God gives me. And so I asked Him this simple question and I thought it would be just a simple thing and I could pray about it and then it'd be okay. But I asked Him, I said, Lord, what is wrong with me right now? What is happening? What is going on in my life? And He gave me one word that shook me. And I said, that's not the problem. Here's the problem. The problem's over here. And He said, no. No, that's not the problem. The problem's right here. Right here? And then the love of God flooded my heart with hope and confidence that the problem could be took care of. That's how good God is. Amen. Oh, He loves us so much. He is not ashamed of you. See, the devil wants us to say, oh, I better be ashamed of that. And God's ashamed of me for all. No, God's not. He loves you. He loves you and He wants you to understand that everything that's working in your life is because the devil has been on the outside trying to get on the inside and destroy what the Holy Ghost done when He lifted up Jesus before your eyes. Amen. But he's not going to win. Amen. More on that later, maybe. But we'll see. Verse 8. And He saith unto them, draw out now. Draw out now. See, when you got born again, And we're going to look at it in just a moment. But when you got born again, you got the Holy Spirit come into your spirit and you got that brand new birth and all of those things. But then there's another experience that you experience in the Holy Spirit where you go from just being born of the Spirit to you receive the fullness of the Spirit. And we say baptized in the Spirit, however you wish to say it. But and when it takes you to that place and all of a sudden, you have a new level of power. You have a new level of something to draw from. I thank God for when I got born again, and that was amazing. But when I finally received the fullness of the Spirit of God, all of a sudden, as I started depending upon Him, I could open my mouth. Like right now, my mind has nothing to do with what I'm saying. My mind doesn't even know what I'm saying. I'm talking to you completely out of my spirit. I'm talking to you out of what the Holy Spirit has put in my spirit. And if we'll live and walk like that, it takes all the pressure off of your witnessing, takes all the pressure off your testimony, takes all the pressure off of your prayer life, because your mind is out of the way. See, my mind hinders me. My mind tells me you can't witness. My mind tells me you can't pray. My mind tells me you can't succeed. But my spirit knows what God has designated and ordained in Jesus. And it's the same way with you. And so we're in this place where we've got to learn not to worry about what's on the outside. Come on, your mind is on the outside. Your soul, your mind, will, and your emotions has nothing to do with your spirit other than your spirit's supposed to what? Cause your mind, will, and emotions to come in alignment with the Word. So he said, fill those six water pots, fill them to the brim, and then draw out. So you and I, we've got to learn in this walk with Jesus how to draw out. Everything that you do, everything about your life. And I've been trying to share with you as the Lord will allow me, I didn't realize how much fear had dominated my life and kept me from doing things. And so I would, instead of walking by faith and drawing out of the power of the Spirit of God, I would try to go in the power of myself. And guess what? You can only go so far. And then you're wore out. But if you'll be being filled, you can draw from what God puts in this old clay vessel, because your spirit is inside your clay vessel, is the only reason, and you can pull that out. So, but you've got to learn, I've got to learn, and we've got to help one another how to draw from the Spirit, draw from that influence where we won't be influenced by all the negativity that the devil has for us. Amen? We're on the same page? Okay. Now, so we see here, he said, and Jesus said to them, fill up the water pots with water, and they fill them to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now. So we got to be close to Jesus. We got to be available to Jesus, and we got to let him conform us. But then we got to be in the place where we believe him. We believe that Jesus has put something in me. Do you believe Jesus has put something in you? And like Brother Donnie said tonight, from the foundation of the world, he knew what to put in you because he knew where you were going to be and who was going to be around you where he could pour it out of you. Will you draw out? Will you say, Lord, I'm tired of settling for second best. I'm tired for letting the devil set my parameters. I'm tired of letting my flesh say, this is as high as you can go. No, you and I, we can go just as high as the Lord has called us to go. Amen. So he said, draw out and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. So it's going to be an act of faith. Like this morning, I went as far as I could go. But now that y'all going to have to get on board with me. When the Spirit is moving like that, you're going to have to yield to the Spirit of God and let him use you. Because there are going to be different people that you're going to be able to minister when God brings them in here that they'll receive from you where they won't receive from me or they won't receive from somebody else. There was a strong anointing for somebody to open their mouth and to prophesy how God wanted to finish that service. Amen. So you're going to have to take an act of faith. You're going to have to draw. So can you imagine? Here these servants, they filled up these water pots. They know there's water in it. They're carrying it out there, and they're looking down. Can you imagine? Come on. There's one on each side. They're carrying this, we're talking about 100 and something pounds. They're carrying this out, and they're looking down. Each step, that's still water. Come on, Brother Donnie, help me. We're going to carry the.
Well, they're saying, what are we going to do when we get to?
Yes, what are we going to do? It's water. I know. It's water.
It looks like water. He said it's wine, but I think it's water.
I don't know what he's thinking.
I don't know either.
Come on, this is water.
Maybe I can run away.
What are we going to do? We're almost there. We're almost.
I don't know what to do. I want to run.
Come on. They're human like you are, like I am. They're carrying that, and they're carrying it up there. And when they get there and set it down, okay, thank God, Donnie, we got it set down. Let's get at it. Let's go. Come on. No, bear it to the governor of the feast. They trembling hands, they take the dipper. You know when it turned to wine? I don't know that, but I know God.
Yeah.
You don't know that, but you know God. How many times has it been at the very last second, but it was right on time with God? Amen. Can you imagine? And they had it with, when they, the last time they saw it, it was water. See, the last time you looked at yourself, you looked at yourself as a vessel just washed in the water. Thank God for the water. But now, you're not just living by the Old Testament, you're living by the New Testament. The grace of God. And the grace. That's it. And that grace of God is the wine of power, the wine of influence. Jesus said, Paul said by the unction of the Holy Ghost by Jesus, said, let your speech be seasoned with salt. Come on, influence, influence, because that Holy Spirit is inside of you. Verse 9, and when the root of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, but the servants, notice this, but the servants which drew the water, they knew. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom. Oh, can you imagine? They don't know what's fixing to happen. They see him take the drink. And now he's calling the bridegroom. Oh gosh, we listen to this Jesus. Man, I just gave more money than I thought I should have gave. I listened to Jesus, but now what's going to happen? Oh, they asked me to do this. I don't know if I can sing this song or not. They asked me to be over this ministry. I don't know if I can do it or not. Gosh, come on. Whatever God asked you to do, you can do. Amen. You and the Lord make a majority. So can you imagine? So all of a sudden here, he calls for the bridegroom. They don't know what's going to happen, but they're the bridegroom's servant. Who are you and I? Verse 10. And saith unto him, every man at the beginning doeth set forth good wine. Oh gosh, here it comes. Oh, we're in trouble. You set forth good wine at the beginning. Now you're fixing to pass it off for water. That's what, you know, can you imagine? And when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou which has kept, you've kept the good wine until now. Now, what does this symbolize? This symbolizes, see, new wine, if you look, make a mark in your notes and look at Amos 9, 11, 12, 13, 14, right in there, and look at the blessing that God promised Israel. When he promised blessing upon them, it always started out with new wine. And so, what this is saying is, God, he had an Old Testament way that people could have a relationship with him under that old covenant, but now, in the last, the new wine is Jesus. The new wine is the grace of God. He saved the best for last. And so here it is. It's available to you and I. The Old Testament prophets, they wanted to live right now where you're living. They looked and they saw that. And they knew what an exciting, momentous possibility of time that you and I were going to live in. And so can you imagine? He said, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. Verse 11, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Canaan of Galilee and manifested forth his glory. Notice what happens. And his disciples believed on him. Now, I don't know how, I don't want to get into a big doctrinal debate or whatever, but we've done prove many times from Scripture, Jesus, yes, he was fully God, but he was fully man, but he had to be led by the Spirit. That's the way you and I are. And so we know that God, he knows all things, but we look through Scripture where it says that Jesus increased in wisdom. So that was the man side. You know, and so Jesus, can you imagine, he went to this wedding and he got a word that was right on time that propelled him into his ministry. You and I, if we'll be in our place, it will propel us to where God would have us to be. Every time, Every time. And it's not just about us. His disciples believed, not just his disciples, but can you imagine the impact that it had on this whole situation and circumstance that would ultimately give them a witness and a testimony of the glory and the goodness of God? Amen. So you and I, we've got to be in that place. Now notice, it says, once again, this beginning of miracles. So when you get born again and you get filled with the Spirit, that's just the beginning. You're ready now to what? 6 + 1 = 7. You're ready to be complete in Jesus and to keep drawing out. So we live this life like it's famine. No, it's feast. When you're in the marriage supper, it's a feast. The devil's convinced us, well, we're going to always lack. We're going to always have to struggle. We're going to always come up short. No, we're God's people. God owns it all. But Brother Corey just witnessed to us and told us if we'd wait on God, he would give us a raise. Yes. A little bitty raise? Does that not excite you? Does God just love Corey more than anybody else? He'll do it for everybody if we're in step with the Lord. Amen? So be excited about that. Now let's look at something. I want us to get this in our heart. Go with me over to the book of Timothy for a second. I want to, look here. In Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, look what the Word of God says. See, you and I, we want to be in that place where we can let God use us. We want to be close to Him. We want to be available. We want to be conformed. And we want to be able to receive what He'd have for us. 2 Timothy 2:20, it says, but in a great house, this is, of course, Paul's talking here, but it's an allusion to the house of God. But in the great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. See, before I got saved, I dishonored God. Before I got saved, I was just earth and wood. I was things that was going to, Paul talked about burning up. But then after I get saved, after you get saved, come on, we're made unto honor for God. And look what he tells us. He said, verse 21, if a man, woman, boy, or girl purge themselves or himself, themselves from these, he shall be a vessel, you, I, we shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. When you accept Jesus, you're prepared because you're letting him sanctify you. You're letting his word wash over you. And what was a problem today, tomorrow it's not. Because he gives you a word of correction, a word of instruction, a word of hope, a word of confidence. I don't know about you, but I look back over my life. There were so many things I was in bondage to that controlled me. And it was, it was horrible. But little by little, God's brought me here. And I can't wait to see what's going to happen tomorrow. And the next day, should the Lord tarry, my heart keeps beating, amen. I'm going to be made more and more free because I'm going to know more and more truth. So every time the devil comes against you, just raise your hand to heaven and say, thank God, I'm a vessel unto honor. Let the devil know that you know what the Bible says about you. You're being purged because Jesus looked, and what did he do? He added himself to those six, and he made it complete. When Jesus is added to your life, you're complete in him. Amen. That's what Paul said to the church in Colossians, at Colossae. All right. So, but we need to be in the place. Go with me to Acts chapter 8, where we keep receiving what God would have for us. Amen. In Acts chapter 8, verse 14, it says, now when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria, remember Philip went down to Samaria and preached the gospel to them. When they heard that Samaria had what? Now mark it down in your mind's eye, highlight it in the Bible. Had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. Verse 15, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might what? Receive the Holy Ghost. So they got saved. They got born again. They received the word of God. And now Peter and John, they have a special anointing. Some people do, even to this day. Whoever they lay hands on, they're baptized in the Holy Ghost. They receive the Holy Ghost. You don't have to have that, but you know, thank God for that ministry. But I want you to see that, see, when Jesus adds himself to our life, we're washed, we receive a portion of his spirit, but then he wants us to be completely filled to the brim. And then he wants us to be able to draw out of that. And when we draw out of that, it changes everything about our lives. All of a sudden, we start believing him for more and more. I was saved, but I couldn't believe Jesus for the things that I believe now. I couldn't. Well, you say, well, it's because so many years has passed. Well, yes, time has passed, and I've got to know him, and he's showed me things and all of those things. But there's something about when the Holy Spirit puts something in your spirit that bears witness, and your flesh may argue with you, your mind may argue with you, but you just know it's right. Amen. Okay, turn over to the 10th chapter. We're talking about how we can apply what Jesus taught there. We can go from no wine to new wine. Look in Acts chapter 10. We won't read all of this. You know the story about where God sends Peter down to Cornelius' house, and they have this great message that brings salvation to his house. But look what it says in verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, Acts 10:44. But while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell, embraced, seized on all them which what heard the word. How and they that were circumcision, which believed, were astonished. In other words, the Jewish ones that had come with Peter, they were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, how do we know that they received this? Verse 46. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God, and then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized? Now notice this, mark it down in your Bible app, mark it down in your Bible. Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have what? Received the Holy Ghost as well as we on the day of Pentecost. So this, God wants you to be a water pot that's close to Jesus. He wants you to be a water pot that's available to serve him. And he wants you, as you serve him, to be conformed to him, to do whatever he would have you to do when he'd have you to do it. But you've got to be in the place, I've got to be in the place where we've got a receiving heart, a receiving attitude. And if we've got that receiving heart, then we're going to what? We're going to, not going to just be born of the Spirit, but we're going to be continually be filled with the Spirit where we can draw from the power of God. God has got greater things in store for you. He wants you to touch the lost. He wants you to do all the signs that Mark 16 talk about, those five signs that God promised that would follow the believer. They will not follow you and I unless we're pulling, unless we're drawing from what Jesus has promised us. Amen? But we can do it because it's not us. It's the Spirit of God in us. Say, I'm God's vessel. That's all you got to be, just the vessel. And he's the one that names the vessel. He's the one. And can you imagine as Jesus picked out those six pots, you know, to not say I'm chosen. Come on, you are. The Bible says that you are his divine selection. That's amazing. God looked at you and he looked at your heart and said, you're my divine selection. He said that you were a chosen generation to make you a royal priesthood. Amen. That's who you are. And so we need to live like that. We need to be in that place. And so every time that the flesh or the soul starts trying to interfere with the work of God, don't feel condemned. Don't feel like a hypocrite. Just take it to Jesus and say, hey, my water pot's trying to go back. But I'm not going to let that conform me. I'm not going to let that change me. I'm going to let you just keep filling me and filling me and filling me. And I'm going to keep drawing from that truth. In other words, when a lie comes to you, you immediately got to replace the lie. You can't stop thinking about that lie. I'm not going to think it. I'm not going to. Yes, you are. Because you're saying it over and over and over. So you got to replace the lie. You got to draw from the water pot and let Jesus tell you who you are, what you are, what you can do. This Bible, this is your manual for life. This is your manual for success in everything that you go to do. Amen. Hallelujah. So, let's think about this right now, and let's put ourselves in one of these positions. Let's say, Lord, I either want to be like Mary, and one season of my life, I'm willing to be like Mary, where I'll speak a word that'll propel somebody to their place or their state. Or, Lord, I'm willing to be in that place, in that position, where I'll go and do something that seems crazy to the world. Come on, it would seem crazy to the world if you went and poured water into these six water pots expecting wine to come out. Amen? But I'm willing to look foolish to the world. The Bible says it's the foolishness of preaching. You know how silly it feels sometimes, you know? But it's the foolishness of preaching. But God uses preaching to save some, to minister truth. So we may look foolish to the world, but we've got to what? We've got to be willing to do that. So wherever you're at in this season of life, it's going to change day by day. But ultimately, if you're always in that place where you're acting by faith and not letting anything else control you, you're going to be able to draw out and you're going to be successful. Amen? Everything you put your hand to is going to be blessed. You're going to grow. You're going to prosper. If Isaac can take and sow in a famine and reap 100-fold under the old covenant, what can you and I do in the grace of God tonight? Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. I thank you for your mercy and your love. I thank you, Lord, for this wonderful opportunity that we have together with you in our presence. Lord, I ask that you would just encourage us tonight, just to be in that place where we're being filled, where we're not depending on anything of the work of ourselves, under anything of the religious or the old covenant, but we're completely living and walking and breathing in the grace of you, Lord. Lord, we give you permission to pour into our lives up to the brim anything and everything that you'd have for us, because we know that what you give us, it'll be something that's beyond our expectation, something beyond our understanding. It'll be better than we ever dreamed of. You gave that governor, and he tasted of that wine, and it was the best that there was to offer. Lord, right now, I believe that if we'll give ourselves as a vessel unto honor to you, because you make us honorable, that when we pour out, when we draw out, when we give to others, they'll see you, and it'll be the best they've ever experienced. We believe that. We desire that. But tonight, Lord, if there's anything in our life that is keeping us from being completely full because we're not close enough, or we're not available, or we're not conforming to you, or we're not receiving that fullness, Lord, correct us in love right now. Speak that truth to us. Lord, because we want to be the vessel that has no room for anything else, but just full of you. Oh, we ask these things in the name of Jesus. And we all say, amen.